We've been studying along some doctrinal issues whenever we can. So Acts, the first chapter, we want to begin reading verse number 1. Right off the first verse, Acts chapter 1 and 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost, that's how God works with us now, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, and they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we want to take time tonight to study for a while and look at a gift that's been overestimated of all the gifts. By the help of the Lord, we want to know the truth on the subject, because it's only the truth, church, that sets you free. In our scripture reading, verse 4 and 5 says, being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus had previously, amen, before commanded them, or commanded the apostles to tarry. He said this in Luke the 12th chapter, Luke 12, 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry. That word simply means wait. Wait. Amen. Or it means stay, ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. This baptism, amen, they were to be baptized with, amen, was the Holy Ghost himself, not one of the gifts. Now John 14, 26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Holy Ghost is many things to you and I. Amen. The Holy Ghost affects us in many, many areas. Amen. He's got several things he does for the Christian. He guides us. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He teaches us. John 2, 27, the same anointing teaches you of all things. He empowers us for soul winning. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. He gives us liberty. Amen. Thank God for liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He conforms us to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, changed into the same image by the Spirit. He strengthens our, amen, our soul. Ephesians 3:16 says, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He reveals Bible truths to us. 1 Corinthians 2:10, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Also, He assures us of salvation and service. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. He fills our mouth with the appropriate thing to say. Mark 13:11, it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And lastly, the Holy Ghost gives gifts, amen, to individual believers. Jesus told the disciples to tarry, and He told them, and He explains why He did that. He said they lack power. They lack power, amen, they lack guidance, and they lacked teaching. The apostles did not have Jesus Christ on the inside as we know it yet. Now, somebody said, amen, they knew things. They only knew things as Jesus taught them. For example, in John 13:7, they're in the feet washing. If you remember what Jesus said, what I do knowest not, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Who's He talking to? Peter. Amen. What? Peter didn't understand. He knew what feet washing was. Amen. That you wash your own feet. Or if you're wealthy enough, you can have a servant wash your feet. But to wash one another's feet. Amen. Jesus said, what I do, thou knowest not now. But you shall know hereafter. When? When the Holy Ghost comes and teaches you or brings to remembrance all things that I did. Now, we want to look at the Bible teaching on the gift of languages tonight. Do you know what brings so much confusion? I thought on this today. Do you know why people get kind of confused on this? It's because the word tongues is used. If that word just simply said languages, there wouldn't be so much confusion. But they were, because the word tongues is used, it all means like it's some exuberant thing. Different now. Just because the word is used, tongues, in place of languages. Now, first of all, we want to see what the Bible says about the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's get into this just a little bit tonight. You know there's two messages on it. This will be one of two. But 1 Corinthians 12, let's read about these gifts just a little bit. Now, stay with me on these first few verses. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit yourself. Does that sound right? King James says, with all. Is that right? Okay. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. 9 different gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Definitely, tongues is mentioned in there, amen, as a gift of the Holy Spirit. But why was it needed? It was needed For the same reason, all the gifts are given. There was 9 given. Amen. And tongues was given for the same reason the other 8 were given. What? For the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. Another translation makes this verse real simple to understand. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person. The Spirit gives this to each other, to each one, to help others, not self-edification. To profit with all. Now we know, you've heard it said, and it's true, that when Jesus was on this earth, he couldn't be every place at one time. He was always confined by the limitations, place, time. He would travel from Bethany, he would travel to Nazareth, he would travel to these different places, but he couldn't be at both places at once. But with the Holy Spirit, neither place or time is a factor. But with Jesus, it was always greetings and farewell. Now, wherever man goes, the Spirit of God is available. Amen. Psalm 139, let's prove it. Psalm 139, verse number 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, verse 11, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The psalmist is letting us know that the Holy Spirit is available wherever one might be. Also, no one can hide from the presence of God. Amen. If you would go into some of these honky-tonks or nightclubs or whatever they call them, pubs, you see the lights turned down. Amen. There's a reason for that. Amen. They turn down the lights because it start out with this darkness anyhow. But nevertheless, in the midst of that darkness, God sees all. Some people don't want to be seen in those places. Amen. Because they're married. So they turn the lights down low and they can kind of hide in the stuff. But God knows that they're in there. Why? The darkness and the light are alike unto him. Now, as we proceed in this chapter, we see the workings of one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of detail that's given in the second chapter of Acts. But there's one thing that is not mentioned. Amen. Is the gift of language is not mentioned there as proof or witness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's not mentioned in there. Pentecost, a day, was the 50th day after the Passover. It's not a church. That's not biblical to call it a Pentecostal church. But it's a day. The celebration by Jews of Pentecost is to observe God giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus. The Pentecost in Jewish tradition takes 50 days, that's what I said. I want to repeat that, but 50 days after Passover. Amen. Now, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was given. Let's go through a few verses and highlight the meaning here. Now, Before we start, we want to emphasize something. We want to emphasize the point that the apostles did not know, amen, the gift of languages was going to be manifest. In fact, they were pretty ignorant on all things, except they knew this: they would receive power. How? They didn't know. They had received power to be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now we're going to read some verses there. Acts, the second chapter. Somebody said, "I know you. I know this well." Good. When we're through, you'll even know it better. Acts, the second chapter, verse number 1. When the day, not church, day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. Now our first thought is in verse 2. They were sitting in a house. Just like you're sitting here in the tabernacle tonight, they were sitting in a house. They were not in worship. They were not praying for the gift of tongues. They were not at an altar. They were not confessing, asking God for a sign. They were in a house sitting. Acts 2 and 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or right away or permission. Or as the Spirit gave them also on what to say. Amen. Now it was not some language that was foreign to the hearers. Acts 2 and 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. That would kind of amaze you. Amen. Why? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Okay, now those that spoke were the apostles. Amen. They didn't know all these different languages. We do know that they were Galileans. Now this is a reason, there is a reason why this was kind of earth-shaking to these people. Amen. To those that heard it, it was kind of an amazement. Why? They considered the Galileans ignorant, rude, uncivilized. They were fishermen. They were ignorant Galileans. Peter, in his denial of Jesus, said to the little maid in Mark 14 and 70, and he denied it again. A little later, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. Why? For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Galileans were known to be a rough, crude people. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. Why? That they had been with Jesus. The disciples didn't learn all these different languages. They spoke Galilean. And God translated that Galilean language into the different languages gathered there that day. There was at least 18 different dialects or languages gathered that day. Now, it doesn't mean that Some of those couldn't correspond with each other. The same thing is true if you would go to Kenya, if you would go to, amen, any dark country such as Africa, or amen, maybe in Haiti or wherever it is, amen, you would see, amen, that you could, amen, they can get along with each other. Their dialects, they can understand one another, but they also speak different languages over there. Amen. I think Brother Johnson, I'm not sure, but I think he can speak about 4 different languages. English is being taught over there too. Well, this is what you got on the day of Pentecost. Now, Acts 2:5 says there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Acts 2:8, how hear we? Every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Amen. Otherwise they heard in the language they was taught as a little child growing up. Amen. They was taught, amen, or heard in their own native tongue. Amen. What did they hear? Acts 2:11 says, Cretes, Arabians, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Not some jibber-jabberish, not something no one could understand, the wonderful works of God. Not an unknown tongue, but in their own tongue of all those gathered. Amen. There wasn't some garbled speech. Amen, that no one seems to know or understand. Nobody jumped up and says, I need to interpret this. God interpreted it. As that language went forth in Galilean, every individual under every nation heard the message. What was the message? The wonderful works of God. God wants people to hear right in this congregation tonight. Every individual, God wants you to hear. That's how you get help. That's how you make decisions. That's how you understand. You hear. Gathered that day on the day of Pentecost was thousands upon thousands Orthodox Jews. Out of every nation, they kept, amen, they kept those feast days. Amen. Now, again, what did they say? Amen. They talked about the wonderful works of God. Now, how would they know what they were speaking if they didn't understand? Now, that's a far cry from the day when Pentecostals tell you, amen, they don't know what they are saying. And ones don't understand what they are saying. Amen. That is false. Amen. God wants people to understand. Remember, it was given a manifestation to edify with all. Every gift that a man has got, whether it's in preaching, divine healing, amen, wisdom or what, he wants the congregation or the people to benefit from that gift. It's so simple. Nowhere do you find a gift used in the Bible for self-edification. Amen. In the 10th chapter, we're going to move right along. Get you out of here real quick tonight, maybe. Acts the 10th chapter. When Peter preached to the Gentiles and the Holy Ghost fell, look at the verse 46, chapter 10. What happened? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Wow. Now we need to look at some facts that are spelled out in that second chapter of the book of Acts. Remember what I said? Remember the scripture I read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the prophet with all. Now, there wasn't any way the message that Peter preached could prick their heart unless they understood the message. Look at what God did with Peter. He gave him tremendous boldness. You know, up until about this time, Peter was kind of a jellyfish. Would you say that? Kind of lacked a backbone. Would you say that? But look where he's standing now. He's standing in, amen, in a hall of Orthodox Jews who no doubt a biggest part of them were involved in the crucifixion. What did the Holy Ghost supposed to do? Give you power to witness. How is it in your own life talking to somebody about their soul? How would you like to stood up that day in that temple with those people knowing they could not stand Jesus Christ? Tremendous boldness. He was considered one of the most, if not the most, important of all the feast days. Gave Peter what? Gave him knowledge of the scriptures. Gave him guidance. Told him what to say. Translated his message for him, so all the different nationalities could understand what was said. And look at this. He did not have an interpreter to repeat what was said. He didn't have to have 18 translators. Isn't that amazing? One man speaks his own language. 18 nationalities. People were hearing in their own tongue in which they were born, not some language they learned later on, but their actually birth language they was taught as a child growing up. Peter spoke Galilean. I've proved that to you from the little maid. But all heard in the tongue in which they were born. Well, let's go to one more. We know what's happened at Cornelius' house. We know what's happened on the day of Pentecost, but there's another place where this took place. Acts the 19th chapter. Three places in the book of Acts where the same, practically the same thing transpired, only to different groups of people. Acts 19 and 1, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. The 12 men mentioned here had known only the baptism they received, what? And following, showing allegiance to John the Baptist. Evidently, they felt the need of repentance, had heard of Christ as the Lamb of God. Amen. Of his resurrection, ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were very ignorant of. Now, God first come to the Jew. He come to Israel or the Jew first. In the beginning was God. He came to his own first. And then reached out to who? The Gentile. From there, he went where? Acts 19th chapter, to the Samaritans. Without going into a lot of history, the Samaritans had migrated to the upper coast of Ephesus. God, who is very fair, reaches out with his plan of redemption to all three of the main factions in the morning time church. These men, being Samaritans, had heard the preaching of John and were baptized of him. But no doubt they felt they needed to repent. Amen. Man, and they says that they magnified or they prophesied. Amen. They spake with languages in the scripture. They prophesied. That word prophesy means to speak or to write with divine inspiration. Isn't this a long, long way from what goes on today? When you deal with a Pentecostal, take it to Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. But they don't want to go there. They want to go to the 1 Corinthians. And we'll get into that in another message. That's the stronghold. Why? Because if you don't rightly divide that, you can get confused in that chapter. Amen. Now, what is a sign to have the Spirit of God? How do you know that you got the Holy Ghost? Is it because of some gift? No, no, no. What is a sign? How do we know who's saved and who isn't? Well, those who have the Holy Spirit live a consistent, holy life and are faithful to the kingdom of God. We don't gather at an altar and pray that someone will speak or someone warble or garble so we know he's got God in the inside. Amen. If you've got God on the inside, it's known on the inside and the outside. It's God all over you. The Bible says you're a new creature, not just on the inside, not just in certain parts of you. You're a new creature. That means the whole new creation. That means the whole man. Your language is different. Your attitude is different. Your spirit is different. And one thing you certainly are that a lot of people are touching on, you're easily entreated. Some people are not easily entreated. They flare up. Pastor wouldn't dare to get after them. Amen. Why? Just like children in a home sometimes. They're not easily entreated when mom or dad get out the switch or speak up. When you have God on the inside, you don't need a sign. You know it. Ones around you would know it. When I got saved, I'll guarantee you, I knew I was saved. And I also guarantee you this, my family knew I was saved. And where I worked knew I was saved. Wherever I went, they knew I was saved. And I didn't have to speak in tongues to prove it. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The gifts of God, and I'm getting ready to close, was giving for service. You understand me? Service. Thank God we got ones that's got the gift of singing. We enjoy that. The whole congregation enjoys it. We got ones that are players on the instruments. The whole congregation enjoys it. We have song leaders, choir leaders, and the whole congregation enjoys that. You have a pastor. You have ministers. You have teachers. Amen. Every once in a while, somebody slips up and gives you a little wisdom. And you get to enjoy all those things. Why? Manifestation is to profit with all. Now, it wouldn't do no good for me to get the gift of prophecy and preach to myself to prove that I can preach. No, it's to profit with all. Brother Zimzak plays the horn. It wouldn't do no good for him. We couldn't enjoy it. He just went and played it at home by himself. No, that gift profits of all. Everybody enjoys hearing Brother Zimzak, I know. Amen. Sunday school teachers, your gift profits with all. Now, the gifts are given for service, I repeat that, not science. If one meets the condition of God's word and repentance and forsaken sin, then you can be assured you're saved. You know you're saved. I wonder how many of you knelt at an altar right here amongst you, and truly when you got saved, I wonder how many of you ever got up and didn't know it. Questioned whether you're saved or not. When I got saved, I knew it. I didn't have to have Brother Wilson say to me, Brother Decker, you're now saved. I knew I was saved. I didn't have to have my wife say to me, Roger, you're saved. I knew I was saved, and she knew I was saved. I didn't have to have my children tell me. Why? You are different. Everything about you is different. The way you look at things is different. The outlook in life is different. You even get to the place, and it don't take long, you dress different. What is requiring a sign like speaking in tongues show? Do you know what that shows? To me it does. As I was sitting this afternoon thinking on it, requiring a sign shows what? Unbelief. Because they have to have a sign instead of believing the gospel. If you have done all that's required of you on repentance, forsaken of sin, you can rest assured you're born again. That was message number one. The next message we go into on part two will be the stronghold of Pentecostalism. And when we're dismissed tonight, I always put on a demonstration. I need someone to come to me that knows a foreign language.